right. Item number six, please.
Item number six, from the Fiscal and Budget Administrator, Department of Administrative Services, requesting authorization to set forth a model which clarifies the policy intent of the board for the provision of shared services and the transition of management of the County Correctional Facility South from the Office of the Sheriff to the Executive Branch, effective April 2013.
Thank you. And our same cast of characters is joining us for item number six. Mr. Kamholz, Mr. Fudge. Gentlemen, I'll let you start us.
Chairman, supervisors, this is a file that seeks additional policy guidance from the board relative to the transfer of the House of Corrections from the Sheriff's Office to a superintendent. As you recall, during the 2013 budget deliberations, there was an amendment that made the transfer. That amendment was approved by the Board of Supervisors. In looking at the amount of money that was appropriated and the number of positions that were involved in that amendment, it was clear that there were a lot of assumptions made that were not explicitly stated. So what this file does is two things. It basically delineates those shared services and that we feel that the board had contemplated when they approved the amendment. It also lays out the staffing at the House of Corrections as of the date of the amendment. So number one, it says we want to make sure that services are still shared as they were prior to 2009 when the sheriff assumed responsibility over the House of Corrections. Number two, we want to make sure that the staffing is the same staffing as of the date in which you approved the amendment. Those are the two primary roles, primary functions of this file, and we're available for questions.
Before we get into questions, I know, Mr. Kamholz, there is the county executive has put together a transition team. Did you want to just talk briefly about that?
Sure. Given that there is a tight deadline, the county executive and his staff put together an initiative to meet on a weekly basis. Moving forward to successfully transfer the House of Corrections from the sheriff to a superintendent. There are a lot of moving parts involved, as you see in the write-up that we provided through DAS. We meet on a weekly basis. Participation is broad. We have the city. We have the controller there. Supervisors are often present. All requisite staff to make sure that this transfer occurs successfully, and also bring information back to committees when things might be a little bit off the critical path. So we're going well so far. We've identified key issues, but it is a tight deadline, and we hope for success. But again, the board presence at those meetings would also be helpful. And I know that you had membership previously and ongoing. So
very good.
Look forward to your cooperation with that.
We do have audience members that would like to weigh in on this item, but I want to look to my colleagues first to see what kind of questions, comments. Supervisor Washington.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm glad this came forward. I think there was some things that needed to be cleared up from the budget amendment. And I would just like to make a suggestion, and that is that I think some of these planning meetings should be done in public, that we should not only invite the public but the media but all of those stakeholders so that we can make this as transparent as possible. Because I think that, you know, we always hear from both sides back and forth who's cooperating, who's not. Mm-hmm. And I would just like to create a forum where we all sit down at the table that's open to the public, where they can see for themselves and make their own judgment on who's cooperating and who's not. And so I would suggest to the administration that you at least do a couple of your transition meetings in some type of public format.
Do you want to comment on that?
Duly noted. We'll express that to the county executive and see if there are opportunities for a couple of these meetings to be held in the public.
Supervisor Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to say that I applaud the county exec's office for taking this opportunity to create a plan. As I understand, you know, it wasn't what the county exec wanted. And so not wanting to move forward with the transition of separating the house from the sheriff's department. I'm still pleased to see that that the county exec is taking this responsibility seriously and moving forward to create a plan so we can successfully, make this transition. And to know that there is a transitional team working as we speak is very helpful to me because I'm very passionate and, as you know, felt really strongly about this transition and separating the two responsibilities. And so I'm glad to see this is moving forward, and I will be supporting it, and I move approval on this item.
And I know, Supervisor, you're rather humble, but weren't you the lead author of this legislation?
Yeah, but, I'm a humble person.
Okay. Very good. Supervisor Schmidt.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We'll get another kick at the can on this. In the transition team, my first question would be from the sheriff's office, is Inspector Schmidt on this, or who's representing the sheriff?
Who's been invited? Whoever wants to add. On the transition team, either.
Yes. That's what you're asking.
Yes,
right.
That's what
yeah,
I'm
okay.
Mr. Chairman and supervisors, representatives from the Office of the Sheriff have been invited. To date, none have attended the meetings.
Okay.
Well, this brings up a terrific problem here. I did talk to both of you previously, just a little bit before again, and this needs a lot of talking. I appreciate what Supervisor Harris has done this. I, was not wild about the transition because I think we had, major problems in years past, and we gave this job to the sheriff. I've heard from the advocates, and I understand the advocates' position. There's advocates in every position, and I guess it's unfortunate that, I'm hearing again, this document, look at all the things that have to be done. I mean, January I don't think was realistic, and I think Supervisor Harris appreciated that and made an amendment. He says it's going to be April. I think that's ambitious. I talked to you gentlemen. You think there's that's a stretch to say the least. They wouldn't go on record on that, but this isn't just walking around the block. This is a terrific adjustment. I guess it's unfortunate that, there's two elements here. There's supervision and correction, and there's the other programs that we need to have done. So, we don't have recidivism, that we give these people a chance, that we give them some opportunities. I think that's why the board has gone away, and I appreciate that too. Who doesn't? I've heard from the advocates tons of times. I know what they're going to say. They'll say the same things today, and they're passionate about it, and there's a lot of truth to what they're saying. There's also some truth to saying that we had real problems under the past, who made a superintendent. Is the superintendent going to have some correctional ability to keep the house of correction in order? We had some major, major problems before. So that's why I was a little leery that, this change is made. And I think this change has come about from what we just hear. There's been terrific uncooperation, very unfortunately, for whatever reasons, between the sheriff and the administration. I mean, they've been at odds. And this, as you well know, you can have all the transition team you want. You can have the advocates. You can have the board. If the sheriff isn't actively cooperating in this, what's going on? I mean, there's, you want to look at the specifics. We can spend hours on what has to be done, inmate transportation, et cetera. Everybody's got it in front of them. This is months on maybe each of these issues. It means quality cooperation between the sheriff, quality cooperation between the new superintendent and the sheriff. And I'm sorry, I don't have a lot of optimism on that, unfortunately. And I think the idea to have a public meeting or say, who's calling what, I think is an excellent idea because we have to find out, when the rubber meets the road here, if the board and Inspector Schmidt said it before, and I presume he a man of his word and honor, okay, will say, well, what we decide the sheriff is going to cooperate and do. He has constitutional responsibilities, but the board does make policy. Okay, and the board, and especially me, I think, is trying to find an in-between kind of idea here where we don't go too fast. I think we've minimized the transition and how difficult it's going to be, and the cooperation needed between this new superintendent, whoever it is, and the sheriff. Sheriff has his own opinions, his own ways, obviously, and that's part of the problem that's brought us to this. Refuses to look at the other side of the equation, it seems, and they're there for a purpose, and that's it, and we don't want anything secondary, any programs and other things that we've talked about. Well, he does his job. Well, I'd like to see a combination. I think April is too fast. That's the way I voted previously. I think a lot has to do with the personality and the expertise and who this person is going to be. I hope we're not in a rush to get the superintendent just on board, too. I think January was terribly unrealistic. I think April's basically unrealistic. It took us a while to get to this point, to put the sheriff in charge. I mean, I know that there's been questions about the sheriff for a couple years. This isn't an overnight kind of thing. You said, this isn't a good idea. Let's take it away from the sheriff. I know it's been an ongoing kind of thing. But, we're taking all things away from the sheriff. We did five and all the other things we're talking about. I just think there has to be, a more public transition here. I think the meetings, I'm going to implore the sheriff publicly said, sometimes he likes what some things, doesn't like others. Well, I'll do this and I'll do that. Well, I don't think it's really just his decision whether I like this or I don't like this. I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do the calls because I don't like it. The medical stuff I don't like. What does he like or doesn't like? To me, it's what needs to be done. Okay, what is his responsibilities? And I know this constitutional ones, like I said, but I think your office and the county executive have to continue that discussion and say, what really do we want from the sheriff? What really are his duties? We're taking duties away from him now. If it's the board's will, we're taking the 9/11 stuff away. Okay, we're costing jobs too. Okay, we're taking away the House of Correction now. Well, what else do we want to take away? Well, with the parks. Well, we hopefully he's going to do the parks now, okay? So I still have all these questions. I don't think they're going to be answered today. There's no way they're going to be answered today. This is a terribly difficult transition, in my opinion. I don't think people give it the credit for what how difficult it's going to be. There's just all sorts of cooperation needed. Just transportation, and we're talking about changing phones. We're talking about changing, Aramark. And, there's contracts here. Maybe they should be looked at 6 months. They shouldn't be changed in January through April, I'll tell you that. We don't know who the person is. We don't know how all these discussions are going to go. I'm just very frustrated with the whole process. It's a shame we can't cooperate better together, because it's the good of not only the people in our corrections facilities, but it's a good for public policy. And the county exec and the sheriff should be working together. And we got to continue the discussion we started in the budget and come back and say, what really are the duties of the sheriff in the county executive's mind and work with this board, okay, instead of just working with Milwaukee and get some commonality together that we can agree on. I guess everybody's, wants to get rid of the sheriff here. I suppose it's in the best interest in the long term for those there. I wonder if it's in the best interest of safety, public safety, for Milwaukee County. That hasn't been talked about very much. I think the sheriff's done a very good job in that area. So, I don't know. I'm one small voice here in the wilderness trying to say that, try to put pressure on both sides, and particularly the sheriff, to come to the table. If this is the policy that's going to be, and the sheriff needs to cooperate. Inspector Schmidt just told us that. Yeah, we'll cooperate and do what we can. Well, I hope to see that in negotiations going on for the betterment of us all. And that's the end of my speech. Thank you.
All right. Supervisor Johnson and then Supervisor Broderick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At the first meeting of this panel, a group of interested parties to sit down and speak in the county executive's conference room, I told the county executive that it was a good thing to do this. It looked as if he was having some foresight as it relates to resolving a transition that is going to occur. And I know that there have been times when the county executive and members of the county board have been at odds, but I did. I felt it was appropriate to praise him at the time.
Thank you.
And I also wanted to add, sir, that probably after this item, I would have to go to the Wisconsin County Mutual Insurance Corporation meeting in Wisconsin Dells, so I have to get on the road.
Well, first of
all,
well, Supervisor Johnson, first of all, I'm grateful that we were able to have you for as long as we did, because I know originally you had asked to be excused, but also gives us a chance to congratulate you once again on your election, and I know that you'll be working your way up in the Wisconsin Counties Association, and that's a feather in the hat for Milwaukee County, so congrats.
Thank you very much. I hope that the second vice president position is something I'll probably accept. Thank you very much.
All right. Supervisor Broderick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's important to put this in context. This issue itself, the whole transition, springs from increased costs that we were incurring due to the curtailment of electronic monitoring, the cost savings involved there. At least in part, and that's where my concerns began. And of course, this is timeline dependent. That's certainly recognized, and I think this matter before us now is an attempt to make clear the expectations of policymakers as to the sheriff's role in this whole thing. Certainly, this cannot succeed appropriately without the sheriff's cooperation. And I think most of us recognize that. I think the intent, our intent in the budget amendment was pretty clear. And while it may have needed some fleshing out, which this item contains, there was something about the tone of this item that I found disturbing. If the exec wanted to veto it, he could have vetoed it, and we could have reworked it. But we have what we have before us, and in that regard, I am more than happy to support this, although not with any great confidence given past behavior, that resistance to this kind of change is not going to be encountered. And I think that will be a shame. It will disserve the public. It will disserve public safety. It is essentially petty and territorial. But if that is what we're going to encounter, we will deal with those log jams a log at a time as we approach them. So I'm supportive of this and thank the administration ultimately for bringing it forward.
Okay. We have some members of our audience that would like to weigh in. Let me first recognize Franklin Mayor Tom Taylor. And as Mayor Taylor is coming up, I'd like to recognize, I know that you've got one of your council members with you, Alderman Ken Skoronski, and also our colleague, Supervisor Steve Taylor, is also a member of the Franklin Council. And while I'm on my Franklin kick, I saw Franklin City Clerk Sandy Wasilowski. Hi, Sandy. So, anyways, Mr. Mayor, please.
Got about half Franklin here today. First of all, thank you for allowing me to speak. And this is on item six. I'd like to say that I totally agree with Supervisor Weishin's comments about trying to make the process and the transition as transparent as possible. City of Franklin and our police department, as well as our emergency services and our health department, would want to be a part of any of those discussions. We do service the House of Correction with our paramedics, EMTs, health department, building inspectors, and on occasion when we have escapes, and as you know, Mr. Chairman, we've had escapes at the House of Correction. Our police department is fully involved in those issues. Supervisor Schmidt stole much of what I had to say, and I also agree with most of what Supervisor Schmidt said regarding the transition. There are a lot of things from what I saw in the report. There is a lot of items that need to be accomplished in order for this transition to go smoothly. I'm just here to speak on behalf of the Common Council, which took action the other night. I believe it was unanimous for me to contact both County Executive's Office and County Board to tell us or to tell you of our grave concerns with this transition. Chairman, you and I were at the press conference with then County Executive Walker right after the escape, the last escape, and I believe after that escape, County Executive Walker said, you know, it's about time, and I think you may have chimed in on this as well, that it's time that that whole place be organized and run as a professional ship. And then there was this scathing report that came from the correctional agencies, almost to the point where they were recommending closure of the facility because it was being run so poorly. So we, the citizens of Franklin, are really, really concerned about this transition. I'm going to just tell you in my words, I've taken quite a few tours of that facility with the chief judge, and under the superintendent, former superintendent, my opinion is it was a facility that the inmates controlled. You would pass inmates in the hall, there would be no respect. The barbed wire, the razor wire was not in place. There were many, many problems with security measures not being taken care of. After the sheriff took control of it, and I would say, you know, Richard Schmidt, who's just really a stellar human being, took control of that facility, it was very clear that the sheriff was totally in control of the House of Correction. And that made me feel a lot better as the mayor of the city, and I think the residents. We've also had terrific communication between our police departments and our city departments with the sheriff's department, and I would like to see that continue. I understand that the sheriff has voluntarily agreed to transfer a facility to a superintendent, but what we're looking for from Franklin, from the county board, is the assurances that the quality of management that occurs there today and the security that's in place and the security measures that have been put in place, that those are going to be even better, the same or better in the future. Okay. And I know that we would rather have coffee someplace else, Mr. Chairman, in Franklin, rather than having coffee at the House of Corrections. So. But I also, I listened to Supervisor Broidrick, and these are tight times, and you have to watch every dollar. So hopefully all the parties can get together and think about public safety first and foremost, and hopefully personalities don't play a part in the decision-making here. So that's it for me.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and nice to see you.
Nice to see you, Mr. Chairman.
Let me
very nice to have you as a county supervisor.
Well, and Franklin actually has three supervisors, as you know, Mr. Mayor, Supervisor Sanfilippo, myself, and Supervisor Steve Taylor. So let me recognize and have Attorney Mike Whitcomb come forward. And he is joined by Inspector Richard Schmidt. Gentlemen, good morning. I will let whoever wants to take the lead.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Perhaps Inspector Schmidt can introduce comments from the Sheriff's Office as to the practical or impractical implementation of the recommendations contained in the resolution.
Thank you. Inspector, please.
Chairman and Supervisors, as I've testified before this committee in finance several times, one of the key phrases that I've used is unintended consequences that can come about in such a transition. And unfortunately, this resolution highlights some of those unintended consequences that, quite frankly, are untenable to the Sheriff's Office, which is why, and I'll go through those very briefly, but at this time, this resolution is, quite frankly, not acceptable to the Sheriff's Office. Two of the items listed in the resolution are in litigation, one of those being transfers of the correctional officers. We just finished getting out of court on that. One of the things that unfortunately was, and I understand it's been extremely quick for the county exec's office, but the budget that was passed by this county board and approved by the county exec, it gives the exact number of staffing for the correctional officers. That number currently at the South facility exceeds the budgeted amount. One of the very key things which is disturbing is that this resolution attempts to put back the unbalanced numbers of correctional officers back at the South. To date, after both of the transfer orders that I put out earlier this month that attempted to balance those officers, they still are over budget on their officers, yet this resolution attempts to put about 30 individuals back that quite frankly would put them over budget. So there's no intent to short the South facility. I just hired 25 officers. We just graduated 12. We have another class of approximately 35 coming in, which will put both facilities exactly where they need to be. So the resolution on its face is flawed from that perspective. And again, that came straight out. That was a court decision as well. The other issue that's listed on here, inmate medical and mental health, is also in litigation as we speak. That issue, don't know when it will be settled. Potentially, the judge has given us a timeline, which includes Legal Aid Society, the ACLU, the county itself, as well as the sheriff's office. So to attempt to mandate a change in this resolution, quite frankly, just adds to the litigious issue. The other concepts that are brought up in here that may or may not be acceptable based on continued work with the county execs. Let me set another issue straight, because there's things that go on that maybe others who testified aren't aware of. The county exec and the sheriff, we have an agreement as to how communication will be dealt with between our two offices. And that's not in the public forum, as was stated. And I'll simply leave it at that at this point. So there's other things that need to be dealt with. On its face, there's things here that potentially are acceptable. There's other items that, quite frankly, we have to work through. So at a minimum, I would suggest that this resolution is premature. It definitely has issues that, quite frankly, are just going to be more litigious if this resolution passes through, and I think we'd all like to avoid that if possible. So I'll leave it at that. I know Attorney Wickham has a couple of statements, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Very good. Attorney Wickham, please, and
thank
welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Michael Wickham. I'm an attorney. Represent Sheriff Clark on issues. Concern is his office, with which Corporation Counsel cannot represent because it may conflict with the policy adopted by the county board or may conflict with the policy of the county executive's office. It appears that the resolution under consideration that derives from the 2013 county budget is taking from the sheriff one of two county jail facilities. What is the reason for this? What is the justification? What is the lawful authority to remove the sheriff and to remove his authority over county jails? It is the sheriff, any sheriff, it is the sheriff who is elected to control the county jails and the county jail inmates. It's one of his core functions in the state of Wisconsin. The transfer of a county jail to a county executive counters the constitutional structure of county operations. Simply put, the sheriff was elected to perform sheriff functions, and the county executive was elected to perform county executive functions. If the proposed resolution is lawful, then too, the Honorable Board of Supervisors could create a position of superintendent of budget, appointed by the sheriff, to prepare the county budget. There is a superstructure of county government that neither the state legislature nor the county board may alter. That superstructure has been engineered and created by the Wisconsin Constitution. The sheriff has his constitutional duties and responsibilities, and the county executive has his. There's no overlap or office sharing called for. The resolution speaks of collaboration between the sheriff and the superintendent of the South Jail facility. To some, collaboration means I must agree with you. What is the policy of the county should they disagree? Who has the final word? It is not unreasonable to assume that the resolution will create strife and irreconcilable dispute between a sheriff and a county executive regardless of who holds the positions. Imagine that this resolution is passed and adopted, and Sheriff Clark is subsequently elected county executive. Because the county board or advocate groups would then disagree with the county executive's decisions concerning electronic monitoring, it would transfer back to the sheriff. It has been presented in the media that the only reason behind this reorganization is to remove from the sheriff his lawful authority to decide who remains in jail and who is released for home detention and electronic monitoring. But honorable committee members, it was the sheriff, who was elected to make these decisions based on his judgment as to what is necessary to protect the public from inmates in the county jail. One may disagree with his decisions, but not with his authority to make them. The sheriff believes and must maintain and protect the constitutional integrity of his office. To do so, an action, my office has been authorized to commence an action to protect his constitutional authority over all county jail facilities. It is respectfully recommended that this honorable committee hold this resolution at the call of the chair pending judicial resolution of this critical issue. No one can fault the sheriff for protecting the office into which he was elected. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Attorney Whitcomb. I'm going to look to Supervisor Weishon, and I believe there will be others. Supervisor Weishon, please.
Well, first, I hope we don't have to pay the legal fees for this last hour, half hour, whatever, because I just think the comments are just, above and beyond, common sense here. Milwaukee County, since the creation of the House of Correction, had a superintendent. We ran the facility. It was only up until recently that it was transferred under the sheriff, and it was very explicit that in 2009, when that transition was made, that the argument was, if it doesn't work out, the county board can take it back. This was just an exercise to try and get something to work better. The mythology out there that the sheriff somehow cleaned up this operation is just that, a myth. There's excessive overtime, there is FMLA issues, there's all kinds of management issues out there. The only difference is, instead of being open about the deficits that have occurred at the facility, they're now masked within the sheriff's budget. So it looks like, oh, everything's great, we don't have a huge deficit. And for the others who came and testified from Franklin about the condition of the facility, the only person you have to blame for that is your now Governor Scott Walker when he was county executive. He's the one who hires and fires the superintendent out at the House of Correction. If people are jumping over the fence, if the place isn't run correctly, if the inmates are running the asylum out there, it's Scott Walker's fault. We are the ones who took action because we didn't want to see that. And unfortunately, the sheriff has fared no better in managing the House of Correction. And so we have stepped in and said, you know what, it's time for somebody else to make some changes out there. So this needs to be done, I'll say once again, in a public manner. And if you don't think public safety deserves a public forum, then I think you need to reevaluate your priorities. And I think that we need to have an open process on this. And if the sheriff and the sheriff's department doesn't want to show up, but they want to spend taxpayer dollars in court, so be it. But I just think that that's a complete waste. And I think we need to stop this ridiculousness of wasting taxpayers' dollars on court issues and tantrums in the sheriff's department. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you. I think there is a difference between the jail and the House of Correction. Just look at the terms. The jail, ultimate supervision. The House of Correction is supposed to be interim place. It's supposed to be a place where we're trying to get people to try to get back as quickly as we can in this society. It's a different emphasis. I'm not going to take back my remarks before. I think you had the NCIS report. I mean, that place was bleeding big time. To say that it's not better than the sheriff is, and just doesn't follow facts, because, I mean, the sheriff had to go through those, I don't know, there were 72 lists of things, or, and then he complied with just every one. Now, you know, obviously, when you have two different viewpoints here on, you know, public safety and trying to keep recidivism down, that's where the sheriff said, you know, he just hasn't cooperated with many of the programs that, you know, we hope do those kind of things has led to this. But it is also true, the I think the board, after some, you know, if you talk about family leave, if you talk about overtime, you know, we had numerous deputy sheriffs and people who worked at House Crush come and say how terrible it was, and people are losing their minds, and they're losing their jobs because they can't keep up with the overtime. It was a mess. The sheriff, and we gave the sheriff the responsibility. And so, like I said before, it's not just easy just to transfer back. I mean, what's to say some of these problems won't recreate? There's going to be all these problems, or just like in the mental health situation. These are difficult institutions to run, and there's going to be problems. And you need strong leadership in this. So, the suit business, boy, it's a shame, but, you know, we can't cooperate. We have to go to lawsuits all the time. And I would ask the an answer, Inspector Schmidt, please. And that's on the county executive. There's a transition team. This is policy. There's something's going to happen here. Maybe, you know, I've stated publicly, I think this is too fast and stuff. Okay, but something has to be done. Has the sheriff been invited on this transition team? Has the sheriff, you know, been asked to look at this? Whether he agrees or not, in principle. I mean, you know, we're all subject. He's an elected official. We're elected officials. You know, we're not just going along with public whim, but, you know, we're responsible for public opinion. Public opinion says there are problems here again that need to be looked at. There are strong advocacy groups, others who maybe don't agree with the sheriff 100%, and this needs to be vetted out. And you can't hide behind and say everything is fine and we gotta just keep going and he has constitutional responsibility. There is a difference between the two. We've made that policy before. I don't see, we can have a lawsuit if you want, but I don't see how it's not gonna say that we have that policy again if we wanna make a switch. So is the sheriff just so disgusted that he won't come to the table then? Has he been invited to the table? And I ask you to answer that, please.
Mr. Chairman?
Please.
The county exec and the sheriff have had private conversation. I will not go into that conversation. There was a venue that was provided to get information to our office that would then be vetted. Unfortunately, the only vetting of information I've had is to read the agenda judiciary and to read over what was put in the resolution. That in itself negated what we attempted to put in place. So our door is still open to the system we put in place. If I am given information, or the sheriff is provided information as was set up with the exec, we will certainly vet that information.
Well, my thought would be, thank you. My thought would be that, you know, how do I say this kindly? We all have our tunnel vision. We all have our prejudices. Maybe that's a strong word, but the advocates, I mean, everybody's got their idea of how things are supposed to run. And the sheriff has responsibility, and, you know, I appreciate that. I also appreciate, and doesn't everyone have to, the other side, when you look at just one angle, you're missing a lot. And those blinders have to come up. That's our job, to try to mediate things and come to a conclusion that satisfies all. I don't think the sheriff is right 100% of the time. Nobody's right 100% of the time. Okay? And don't you feel, doesn't the sheriff feel, I mean, I know he's been elected, but doesn't he feel he has to answer to some of these, public questions? Everything can't be in private. And if you have a transition team, how do you get the feedback from these other sources if he just has a private conversation with he and the county executive? By the way, the county executive, and I hope you're trying to be kind here too. I mean, he doesn't have a background in so many of these areas. He came to office. He has a good heart, trying to do things the right way. But, you know, he lacks a lot of political experience and background in many of these areas. And I don't expect him to have that. So he needs a broader perspective too.
He needs legal aid. He needs advocacy. He needs these other groups that come to the table too. And you know, the transition team. Don't we need to do this? And the sheriff is. The sheriff says, "I'm not going to be part of this because he feels, you know, this certain way." Does he ever bend? Is he ever willing to look at, you know, some other people have some views too, and we can do both. We can have public safety and we can help people. You know, the last thing I'll say, it goes back to the arguments I've had for all these many years on the board. I got in the county grounds, and it was either developers or preservationists. You know, developers want to develop everything. Preservationists don't want anything. They didn't want a soccer field. And I told them both extremes, hey, you know, there's land out there, and we've done it very well in the county grounds. You know, you can do both. You can preserve, you can have quality development, and you can do preservation too. Yeah, better minds have finally come in. And flooding is the same kind of way too. You know, we don't just give our problems downstream. We work things out. People have changed just their tunnel vision. We need to do something here too. So you're saying that you have private conversations. Private conversations isn't good enough. You know, then if you have a public forum, then the sheriff can say here, well, you know what, my experience is, or what I had to inherit, you know, this just will not work, and here's the reason why. Okay? But, you know, two people that need to broaden their perspective and learn more from each other and mostly from other people. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. I was frustrated before I came here today, and I'm expressing it again, and I'm somewhat sorry, but that's really strongly how I feel. And I just feel that, you know, if you don't like this, or even privately talked about, you know, how is it going to work out then? If you don't have a public forum, if you don't sit down and start listening to each other, and you know what, maybe there are enough people, maybe you should trust there's enough people who do care about these questions, and you know, might agree a little bit with the sheriff too, and you can make your points that way. Otherwise, just we're going nowhere here in my mind. Sorry, thank you.
Supervisor Broderick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think state statute provides for the HOC superintendent, and perhaps pursuing your lawsuit will resolve that issue finally.
Mm-hmm.
For the sheriff, and perhaps when the court rules, you'd be more accepting of the outcome. But it seems to me that the statute is clear. We're not going to, and I don't think we can be in a position of indulging wasteful expenditure of tax dollars by the sheriff by way of his abrupt change in policy on electronic monitoring for what seems to me to be motives other than those expressed. That seems to me to be very clear. Electronic monitoring has become a method, a tool, to attain ends which he cannot attain through other means. And it's a very wasteful and costly one. And as those who oversee the expenditure of tax dollars, we can't be in a position of condoning that kind of behavior on the part of the sheriff. The idea of public scrutiny, it makes even the most stubborn and recalcitrant individuals more likely to exhibit moderate positions when the light of the press is shined on their positions. So I think nothing could be more helpful than having this in a public forum for the public to look at. Supervisor Weishantz talked about it, Supervisor Schmidt. I mean, this is the cure to this personality problem that we seem to be suffering here in Milwaukee County. So rather than trying to hide this in back rooms and dark corners, I think the public light needs to be shined on this as brightly as possible. And I think through that process, we'll achieve a startlingly reasonable result.
Okay, thank you. We do have one more audience member that would like to speak on this. And I would, and that's Penny Secor. Penny, if you'd like to come up. I would ask if there's anybody else in our audience that if you would like to speak, you are welcome. Just need you to fill out one of these blue cards that are at the table, the small table over here at the end. Ms. Secor, please. Hi.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, Penny Secor, AFSCME District Council 48. In all these talks about the transition, as you know, I have represented the county employees while it was still under superintendent with the House of Corrections. I represented through the transition, and we are still representing those employees. We have not been to any transition meetings. We not have not been invited to any of the transition meetings. If you want to know what's going on in the House of Corrections, talk about the people who do the work. These are the people who do all the movement within it. They know what pods are filled, what aren't, what kind of people were transferred, and what the staffing was, what needs to be. None of this has ever been discussed with the employees or to be a part of this transition in any way. Again, I agree, it should be a public forum, and that means that everybody should be invited who has a stake at the table. I think that's a great thing. But what I find very interesting is when Attorney Whitcomb is talking about the sheriff's responsibility, where was he then when it was a superintendent and things were wrong? Where was he if this is supposedly his duty to take care of this house? Where was he at that point when meeting after meeting we were talking to you about the issues out at the House of Corrections? At no time did he ever care about what was happening there. He never attended any of the meetings. He never spoke about what could or couldn't be done. If this is the sheriff's job, where was he then? And I agree, there were many problems under the superintendent. But what we have to look at is not the hierarchy, not how the superintendent runs things. You have to look at the personality of what the superintendent was at that time. And that maybe it wasn't the best fit. Maybe there are people out there to do this. And I really think that it's very important that you get a superintendent back in place. And we would very much like to be a part of all these discussions, to be able to talk to you about, like with the staffing. There are deputies out there right now. There's captains running pods, doing the same job as a correction officer. Is that what you meant by keeping the staffing, or the transition team meant by keeping the staffing? We don't have that kind of a detail in it, and we would like to be involved in that. So I would ask the chairman and supervisors that we would also be a part of this transition team, because it's going to affect many employees, and they need to know what's going on. It's their lives.
Well, Ms. Secor, we have at least three representatives, in essence, from the county executive's office who have just heard your plea, and so they have heard what you've asked for. So any questions for Ms. Secor? Okay,
thank you,
Penny. All right. I'm going to ask Kimberly Walker if she could come forward. And we obviously have Mark Grady at the table here. Kimberly is our head of our corporation counsel, and her deputy corporation counsel is Mr. Grady, Mark Grady, who's sitting at the table here. And I will apologize because I thought I was thorough in my going over all of this and trying to anticipate what may or may not happen. And I honestly, I was thrown on the whole call of the chair to this item, okay? And so I am troubled as to, you know, what the board's action is, okay, which was via the budget, okay, and then the exec vetoed it and the board overrode, okay? So in essence, we have a policy in place. Now, this committee, I think it's my understanding, must abide by that policy, I guess is what I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to talk to you before this meeting, but I guess I've been sitting here struggling with this, and I don't know how I can just unilaterally say, well, we're going to bring this up when the chair feels like it. And so I'm looking for some guidance here, guys.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry about my voice. The budget as adopted by the board is a resolution which you look at annually, and you can adopt and amend a resolution. So the resolution before you is proper. It's a proper resolution. You'd essentially be amending the resolution as it pertains to the transition of the House of Correction after the budget.
Okay, I guess where I am troubled, and I don't mean to be talking from the chair's seat here, however, the board has said we're going to make this change, and it wasn't unanimous, but a majority of the board said they were. So we have to proceed down that road, correct?
That is what the board has indicated. That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it is the obligation of this committee, then, to continue forward.
Mr. Chairman, unless the body, the board, would change the position that was adopted via the amendment during the budget process, either through the resolution, which is before you now, or some other resolution, what we have now as the policy is to make the transition. And so if you are going to go down the road of the transition per the resolutions before you today, then this committee would adopt that resolution and go before the full county board for adoption, you know, vote up or down. Otherwise, if the board doesn't take an action to adopt the resolution that's before you, then what still remains before you is what you adopted during the budget process. So either way, the transition goes forward.
Okay, that answered my question. Thank you. Any other questions for Corp Counsel? Okay.
And have a motion to approve?
Yes, yeah. Supervisor Harris does have a motion for approval. And I guess the only other thing is that, and again, I respect where Attorney Whitcomb is coming from, that we may be in court on this, but I guess we need to, in essence, barrel forward. And so if there's no other comments, questions, thank you all for allowing me that explanation. And Madam Clerk, please call the roll on item 6.
Supervisors Harris?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Weishan?
Aye.
Broderick?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
No.
5 ayes, 1 no. The item is approved.
Okay. Item number 7, please.